Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our gospel lesson and especially these words. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, you probably heard the gospel lesson this morning and began to wonder to yourself what was going on. Isn't this the Palm Sunday reading? Why are we reading it now? Are we not in the middle of Advent? Are we not getting ready for Christmas? Well, all of those things are true, but we as a church figured if Target could start Christmas in August, we could start Easter in December. Actually, there's much more theological reasons for having the reading we have. The reading for the Palm Sunday event ties very well in with the Advent season. The connection between the Palm Sunday reading and the Advent season is that both celebrate that Christ the King is coming to you. In the Palm Sunday event, in that reading, he was hailed as he entered the city of Jerusalem as, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," according to Luke's reading. Advent is a season of preparation to remember our King's first coming as a babe in Bethlehem, even as we await his second coming. In both Advent and Palm Sunday, we celebrate that our King comes to us. Or, to be even more clear about it, in both Palm Sunday and Advent, we celebrate the King who came to us as a babe in Bethlehem, the King who continues to come to us now in the means of grace, and the King who shall come ultimately on the last day. Advent has always been a time of preparation for the coming of our King. Theologically, Advent is not primarily focused on getting ready to remember Christmas. At its heart, Advent is really preparation for the return of Jesus. Advent has as its primary and ultimate focus Christ's second coming, not his first. That might surprise you. But if you really think about it, and if you think about the songs and the readings we have in Advent, they aren't primarily focused on Bethlehem, on angels, on shepherds. That's what Christmas songs are for. Advent songs are really prayers, petitions for Christ to return. Let me give you a few lines to demonstrate what I mean from some familiar Advent songs. How about the opening hymn we use today? "The Advent of our King, our prayers must now employ, and we must hymns of welcome sing in strains of holy joy." We're imploring that Christ would come. How about this one? "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." Again, the prayer is that Jesus would come. Finally, the song we just sang. "The King shall come when morning dawns and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills and life to joy awakes." Notice that while many Advent songs do mention the birth of Christ, their focus is on prayer and petition that Christ would come back. The words Advent and come and soon fill the songs of the Advent season and emphasize the idea that Christ will return. The season of Advent is absolutely about the King who has come as a babe in Bethlehem, but it's also about the King who continues to come to us through the means of grace, and ultimately about the King who shall return to us on the last day. Let's look at those three focus. The season of Advent does have with it a remembrance of the King who has come. As a matter of fact, originally, Advent was not a season leading up to Christmas, but up to the day of Epiphany, January 6th. Epiphany, you'll recall, is the day when we remember and celebrate the coming of the wise men to see the baby Jesus. Those who had seen the star in the east and had come to worship him who was born King of the Jews. Advent, when it was begun, was a 40-day preparation period leading up to January 6th, not up to Christmas, not December 25th. However, over time and usage, when December 25th, our Christmas became more important, Advent began to be seen as a preparation season for Christmas. And yet, when you look at the readings and the songs, it retained its character, a character that goes along with the wise men in searching and looking for and praying for the King of Kings. It remains the celebration of the King who has come. But it is also a celebration of the King who continues to come and the King who will come. Jesus is the King who has come. It isn't wrong that Advent had become a preparation time for Christmas. It is perfectly right that we should remember that Christ, our God and King, humbled himself to be born of a virgin in a quiet little town, in a quiet little corner of that town, in a quiet little manger. The King of Kings came to us as a baby because we needed him to. Because we could not come to our King. We are helpless to draw nearer to God, so God became helpless to draw nearer to us. We are sinners. And in that sin, we have no power to come to God. However, God, in his eternal love and grace, bridged the gap. He overcame it. He overcame the gap between us by coming to us. Our King left his throne to be one of us and be among us. And you cannot possibly appreciate the magnitude of what Christ has done in the incarnation in becoming one of us until you appreciate the direness and desperateness of our situation. We were desperate. We were helpless. We have nothing to give our King, nothing to draw closer to him. Even our good works, even our good deeds, are stained with sin apart from Christ. And yet, there's that small part of us. There's that natural human inclination within us to believe that somehow there's something good still lying within us. That somehow we have something good that we can kind of help it along. We may recognize that we don't have the ability to go all the way to God to make up for all of our sins, but maybe we can help bridge the gap a little bit. Maybe we can make it a little closer from God's side. And yet we can't. Our sins make everything within us utterly worthless. But the natural inclination is to believe that we can. One of the things that always amazes me is what happens in conversations that I as a pastor have with strangers. Quite often, and for whatever reason, particularly this time of the year, when I get into a conversation with somebody, as soon as they discover I'm a pastor, they begin laying out their list of good deeds to me. You know, the good deeds they've done. I was getting my hair cut this last week, and the lady, when she found out I was a pastor, began to speak to me. Well, my son and I went, and we brought blankets to the homeless shelter, and we gave money for Thanksgiving meals. I'm like, okay, that's good. I mean, this is a good thing to do, right? I'm not so sure why she's telling me, but okay. But that's the base part of us, isn't it? That's kind of who we are by nature. We somehow believe that we have to, in some ways, make up something. We have to be good in some way to sort of start to bridge the gap between us and God. But the real problem is we have nothing to do with it. We can't get there. Nothing we offer can make God love us more or less. We're sinners. And helpless in that condition. But that's where God comes to us. That's where your King chooses to come to. That's why the incarnation, the Christmas, is important. Because while you're helpless to go to God, God chooses to be helpless and come to you. We begin a celebration in Advent of the King who has come. That's our first celebration, our first focus. He has come because we couldn't go. And he's come to us. The second focus of the Advent season, dealing with our King, is that our King continues to come to us. Daily, weekly, we are reminded of our sin. With every fight with a spouse, with every spat at work, with every misplaced belonging, with every thought we wish we didn't think, with every word we wish we hadn't said, we're reminded that we are sinners. But daily and weekly, your King desires to continue to come to you now. And he does. In reality, come to you now through the means of grace, through baptism, the Lord's Supper, the absolution, the preached word of God. Your King comes to you now. And it isn't about remembering. When I stand before you and you've confessed your sins to me and I say, I, as a called, ordained servant of the word, announce the forgiveness of God. It isn't as though you have to, I'm causing you to, well, think back to when Christ forgave you. You need to understand that what happens in that moment is an actual forgiveness that happens now. Real means of grace, commanded to be given to you by Christ himself. When you come to this rail, and you kneel and you receive Christ's body and blood, it is not efficacious, that it is not effective and powerful because you remember what Christ has done long ago. It is efficacious and powerful because of what God is doing now. Because your King comes to you now in his body, in his blood, in reality. And forgiveness is given in this meal, in this time, at that moment. The same is true of baptism. Baptism is not a washing of a child in remembrance that Christ was once baptized in the Jordan River, but it is a coming of the Holy Spirit and a giving of faith in that moment. And so too the preached word. God's word goes out and accomplishes that for which he sent it. And it's not relying upon some remembrance or looking back. That's a very reformed approach to the means of grace. Instead, God's promise is that through this preached word, through this earthly elements, through this pronounced forgiveness, forgiveness and grace is given now. Your King comes to you now. This is your King. A King who came as a babe in Bethlehem, who comes to you through these means of grace now. But there's one more focus to the Advent season. And it's tied into every song we sing and every reading we have in Advent. And that is your King, we shall come again. That this isn't the end. That all this violence, all this death, all this sorrow you see in the world will have its end because your King shall come again. And it'll all be brought to conclusion. And there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And your King shall reign in the new earth and heavens. You have a King. You have a King who loved you enough to take form of man, to become man, and die and rise for you. You have a King who loves you enough to come to you continuously through means of grace, word and sacrament, body and blood, absolution. But you have a King who loves you enough that he shall return. I close with the last verse of the last hymn we just sang. The King shall come when morning dawns and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the Lord, your people pray. Come quickly, King of kings. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.